AP&T abandons a possible Skagway hydropower project, and a report outlines the mining sector's impact on the Haynes economy. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. Alaska Power and Telephone will stop exploring the possibility of a hydroelectric project at Skagway's West Creek. The Borough Assembly discussed that development Thursday. They also made a few decisions related to waterfront improvements. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
AP&T sent a letter to Mayor Mark Schaefer last month. The permit they received from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to explore the viability of a hydro project in Skagway is set to expire at the end of May. In the letter, AP&T says the company will not apply for a new permit. Instead, they are abandoning development efforts at this time. Darren Belisle is the Upper Lynn Canal Manager for AP&T. He spoke at the latest assembly meeting.
It doesn't look like the municipality wants it here. There's really doesn't look like the market's here, so why should we continue putting in money to get a permit and hold it?
A few residents spoke up against the project at the meeting, and Schaefer said it is not viable.
If somebody thinks it's viable, like AP&T, they're going to get a permit and try to pursue a project. The municipality isn't in that game. We're not in the energy game.
That means unless another company applies for a permit to explore the hydro project, it will not go forward. Another stalled development was raised at the meeting. Schaefer said he thinks it's time to withdraw a permit application for the Gateway project from the Army Corps of Engineers.
We don't have a project. We don't have a Gateway project. We don't have a mitigation project. There's none in sight. It's just time to stop this permit. We're trying to propose a project that doesn't exist.
The Gateway project includes cleaning up legacy contamination in the ore basin and dock replacement and enhancement. But that was put on hold after voters rejected a tidelands lease between the municipality and White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad in 2015. That vote put work in areas currently under White Pass's control in limbo. Assemblyman Tim Cochran agreed the municipality shouldn't continue to spend money on the stalled project.
I'm concerned at spending any more money on this until we know what we're going to do. And I think it's in the public's best interest to have an enhanced harbor down there. But until we know exactly what that enhancement is, and we should stop spending money on permits that are not coming.
Spencer Morgan suggested seeing if any of the work that has been done there could be useful to Moffitt and Nickel, the firm hired to help move along stalled port renovations.
I don't want to spend any more money on something we may not use, and we're almost pretty sure we wouldn't. But, we've hired a firm on to give us some options of things we can do with the port. I'd be interested to see if any of that could fall under that scope of work.
Assemblymember Angela Greaser suggested suspending the permit rather than withdrawing it.
If it doesn't cost us any money, why would we not suspend it?
That was something other assembly members were interested in looking into. They voted unanimously to cease all work toward obtaining the permit while they decide whether to withdraw or suspend the application. Since the Gateway project is on hold, the borough turned to outside port consultants Moffitt and Nickel. The company's original contract for waterfront planning was for nearly $200,000. The assembly voted in favor of a contract amendment for an additional $265,000. That will allow the company to conduct an economic analysis, port governance study, and an environmental and regulatory compliance study. Here's Assemblyman Steve Burnham Jr.
In any scenario, we're going to have to undertake this sort of study. So whether we do it now, or later, before the municipality takes a bigger footprint down on the waterfront, we're going to have answers.
Greaser pushed back on the added expense.
I agree that we're going to need this done. I just don't think we need it done right now. And I think it would be wise to see what their final product is before we spend another $264,000.
The amendment passed 5-1 with Greaser opposed. Finally, after speaking in executive session, the assembly voted against extending a city-provided apartment to manager Scott Hahn until the end of his contract in 2018. Hahn's contract provides him with housing until June 30th of 2017. Mayor Mark Schaefer broke a tie vote to deny the extension. though Schaefer said the matter will likely be revisited during a staff review in June. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins. A company conducting mineral exploration in the Chilkat Valley recently commissioned an analysis of the Haines mining economy. Constantine Metal Resources paid for the report from Juneau-based Raincoast Data. It estimates that the mining sector had a $5.2 million economic impact on Haines in 2016. Much of that comes from Greens Creek and Kensington workers. One of the most obvious contributors to the Haines mining economy is Constantine's Palmer Project, about 35 miles north of Haines. It's not yet an active mine, but is in the exploration stage.
I guess we commissioned this study to help kind of put our own numbers in perspective.
Constantine Exploration and Community Manager Liz Cornejo said the company wanted to understand mining's economic impact in Haines beyond the Palmer Project.
I had a good understanding of our own numbers, but I didn't have a good understanding of what the whole sector kind of was in Haines.
So Constantine reached out to Raincoast Data Director Melani Shivens. Shivens has previously done reports on Haines' arts economy and Southeast Alaska's economic changes.
Mining as an industry is twice as significant, twice as important to the Haines economy as it is to the overall Southeast Alaska economy, even though you don't have any mines in active production there.
Shivens calculated that the mining sector contributed $5.2 million and almost 100 jobs to the Haines economy in 2016. That includes 79 mining industry jobs and 19 from the multiplier effect, that is, jobs created by the money mine workers spend in Haines. Haines mining jobs are diverse. The majority come from Constantine locally and Greens Creek and Kensington mines in the Juneau borough. But there are also a number of road builders and drillers who support mining activity, a handful of placer miners, and local TV production crew for Discovery Channel's Gold Rush. In 2016, Constantine had a hand in providing paychecks for 39 Haines residents. Most of those jobs are seasonal. The Raincoast Data report says the direct earnings of Constantine employees were about $500,000. Factoring in indirect impacts of Constantine's spending brings the number to $1.3 million. But it's two outside mines that provide year-round employment that contributed the highest dollar amount to the Haines economy.
The most significant sort of economic contributor in the mining sector was those workers at Kensington and Greens Creek mines who are actually able to live in Haines and commute to Kensington and Greens Creek.
Last year, they employed 26 Haines residents who earned an estimated $2.7 million.
They're able to have those really high-paying dollar jobs and bring those wages and salaries home back to Haines, and that ended up being really a significant contributor in the overall economy.
Shivens says the about $100,000 average salary of Greens Creek and Kensington workers helps the mining sector account for a larger piece of Haines' workforce earnings than she expected.
It turns out that mining is 8% of all employment earnings in Haines last year, which I thought that was a pretty dramatic finding, personally. I was blown away by that finding, because if you look at Southeast Alaska as a whole, mining is 4% of all wages in Southeast Alaska.
Constantine's Cornejo says the impact Greens Creek and Kensington workers have on the Haines economy surprised her.
It sort of also highlights the potential for Haines in the future if the Palmer Project were to become an operating mine, just what that could mean as far as wages locally in Haines.
But the head of a local conservation organization says the report does not address the potential environmental consequences of a Palmer Project mine.
The real point is that there are none of the hidden costs to mining are included in this report. For example, long-term cleanup.
Lynn Canal Conservation's Eric Hawley says the report focuses on the jobs mining creates without considering the negative impact they could have on other people's jobs, including fishermen and tour operators if watersheds are contaminated. To see the full report, check out this story at khns.org. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.